Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, August the 17th, 2015. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions. I know I say that every time, but it really does. It makes it your show. It makes the show go live, and we can address your issues and support you more personally. So we invite you to press 1. And Michael's getting his earpieces out, so while we're waiting on that, let me tell you that this show is called Mind Shifter Radio because it's about shifting your mind. It's about going back to being who we are designed to be, which is pure love. It is the essence of that newborn, whether it's a newborn kitten, a newborn puppy, a newborn human. They're all that sweet, wonderful miracle. And it's how do you remove all the angers and the fears and the hostilities and griefs and pains that we've overlaid ourselves with and to get back to that being. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome everybody to the show. We're honored and blessed that you choose to join us every day that you choose to join us. And as Jeannie says, our work is about reestablishing the lost art of understanding the first century Aramaic language, especially as it relates to forgiveness. We're taught in our culture that forgiveness is all about how I'm going to let you off the hook for this terrible pain and this terrible thing inside of me. And our offering is that's total fraud. That's called pardoning. You know, Vladimir Lenin says, change the meaning of a culture's words, you can destroy the culture. You can't count high enough to tell how many word meanings have been changed so that we can't rationally, logically think about issues that are really important in our lives. When we degrade the definition of words, we lose that capacity, and as we lose that capacity to really, truly, rationally think, the world becomes insane. And I was thinking this morning as I'm going to ask for some support today. I was doing some breathing this morning as I woke up. I usually take quiet time and did a little bit of breathing and found myself being instructed a little bit more on the filters and that we've been talking about the last few days. I don't have a recollection of what that instruction was at this moment, but I was being told some things about it. And then I found myself in at the bottom of a body of water, and there were three round objects that looked like the color of and the size of a nice red delicious apple. I thought, well, I'm going to go down and grab those. So I swam down and grabbed one of them, and it was really heavy, and I grabbed the second one, and it was really heavy, and I tried to float up, but I couldn't do it. I had to drop them both. And so my take is that something's getting ready to move for me that's big, heavy issues, and there are three of them. So I'll just ask everybody to hold the space for whatever's coming next. You know, when you start looking at the fact that what we're really asking people to do is to clean up the whole genetic bloodline, and it doesn't happen overnight. I use the example oftentimes of you know, people who don't want to do their work, who don't think they should have to do their work daily, or who get into trouble and do a piece of work, and then once they're finished with their trouble, they go on verily on their way and forget about the work, not realizing that if we continuously clean up our minds, then we're going to be able to stay out of the place where we're in disaster, when we're in disaster, and in that disaster of crisis, people come back and want to do some work again, but really get lost in that irrational thinking that comes from hostility and fear. And excuse us, we had a little bit of noise here. We're actually sitting in a restaurant. The fellow was delivering our food. So, well, it's life on the road, folks. But in any event, I use the example of, imagine that somebody who's, let's say, 50 years of age says, you know, for the last 45 years, I've gotten up every day, and I get in the shower, and I wash my body. And, you know, I think I've washed my body enough, so I'm going to stop now. I'm not going to wash my body anymore. And, of course, we know what kind of a disaster that would lead to, what our world would look like if everybody did that. And refusing to wash your mind every day, refusing to utilize, and Dr. Tim brought us forward a few months ago, brought back a story from a fellow who's a psychologist who was talking about mental hygiene, and that as a culture we just don't engage in mental hygiene. And it's time for us to begin to continuously engage in really cleaning up our minds on an ongoing basis, the same way that we clean our bodies. And if we refuse to do that, then we end up in difficulty and wonder why. When you realize that under the surface there are 1,000 generations of who knows what kind of insanity, what kind of rage and guilt and grief and fear and pain and trauma there is, what we're asking you to do is to acquire the tools, practice them until you have a skill set. I was talking to a woman yesterday, and she found out that some symptoms she had as a child and at different times throughout her life were the reflection of a particular, you know, named disease, and she's now in her 60s, and she's starting to experience some effects of that. And she was sharing that, you know, well, she finally got a diagnosis, 60 years of age. And what are they going to do about it? Well, there's nothing they can really do, but I'm going to go for more tests so I can find out just what kind of, you know, this particular category of disease it is. It's like, well, how is that going to make things different? Well, it won't make them different. I'll just know about it. It's like, well, if you get, when you start realizing that we don't live in a physical world, but rather we live in an energetic world, then realizing that living in an energetic world, every energy that reinforces a particular condition or situation ends up strengthening that condition or situation. It's like, why go find out more about something that you already know about and get more minds, especially experts, telling you what kind of disastrous things are going to happen to you when they already said there's nothing they can do? Why don't you just acquire a skill set? And the skill set is that of learning to go inside, that of learning to capture or scoop out the hostility, the fear, the rage, the guilt, the grief, and fear of the generations. Remove that which distorts the tissue structure and creates what we call some sort of cellular distortion that's given the name of a disease. Why not put your time, intelligence, money, and energy into that? That's the skill set we're asking people to do. And because of what's hiding down there, you know, we're fairly well-versed in the idea that from the perspective of psychology, at least 95% of our mental processes are hidden. And, of course, that's just our mental process. That doesn't go into our genes. You know, the Greeks warned us, oh, don't open Pandora's box. You never know what you're going to find in there. But what they didn't tell us is, if we never open Pandora's box, then our whole lives become Pandora's box. Because it's out of that box. In the ancient Aramaic, it was called the heart. You remember they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. Whatever energies you hold there are going to express in your physiology, express in your thoughts, express in your words, express in your emotions, and express in what you create in your life. We're inviting people, and we want to support people. And that's why we do this radio show every day, is to support people in developing that skill of being able to go inside and remove what never belonged. And as you develop that skill set, you become more and more proficient and more easily move through the issues that just weigh people down and, you know, have people doing things like committing suicide, getting lost in the trauma and the drama of their lives. And so we're here to support you in developing that skill set. And I use an example of several years ago. I bought a computer and had trouble with it, spent several hours on the phone with tech support, sent it back, got it back, same problem, sent it back again, to make a long story short, got it back, it was the same. And my son's computer teacher, he had his computer school, is a former NASA computer scientist, busy guy, don't like to bother him, but finally I called Graham and I said, Graham, I've had this computer to the manufacturer twice and they haven't fixed it, they don't know how to fix it, can you give me any help? And he said, well, what's it doing? And he gives me a string of commands to type in. I type them in, and he says, well, he asked me to read back what it says, and so I share with him what it says. He says, well, type this string of commands in. And I say, okay, and what does it say now? And he says, okay, type this, it's fixed. It's like, you got to be kidding me, Graham. Yeah, it's fixed. And it was. How did he know that? He's a NASA computer scientist. Years and years of practice and working with understanding how those systems operate. It's going to take years and years of practice and understanding how your human system operates to really, truly clean it up and make of it a truly human expression. And our definition of a human is hold a newborn child. That awesome active presence of love is the stuff we're designed to express, to experience it, to be plugged into 24/7, 365. And our culture puts thumbprints on us that remove us from that. And we need to become aware of those thumbprints, learn the skill of going in and removing them. You know, another example I use is, you know, where's Tiger Woods today? I guarantee he's out on the golf course somewhere hitting balls. Well, why? 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 He's the best in the world. He's one of the best. Of course, he's been slipping a little lately. But why would he be out there practicing on the driving range today? Because he's number one. He's on the top. You want to be on the top of your game? Then you're going to have to practice working with the skills and the tools for undoing everything your generations that leads you to experiences that are unlike love. And part of that process is to stop pretending that you're experiencing those things because of what somebody else does, because of what somebody else says. When we think or speak as though somebody else is the cause of what's going on inside of us, we enter into a state called denial. And what denial does is it causes us to hide a part of our minds from ourselves, and the part that is hidden, we're dissociated from, and now we can't change it. And we wonder why these things keep going on and on and on. Forgiveness is the key skill. If you haven't engaged in it, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. In the middle of the page, there's a bullseye. Click the bullseye. It'll open a whole series of links on the how-to of first century Aramaic forgiveness, how to scoop out of your genes, your mind, your emotions, and things that never belong, and return to the direct experience of love, 24/7, 365. That's what we're here to support you in. And Gene, do we have Dr. Kim with us?
We do have him with us, and I wanted to share, too, we went to see a movie last night called Straight Outta Compton. You want me to mute you? Because it's echoing what I'm saying here. Okay. So we went to see a movie called Straight Outta Compton, and it's about a group, and I mean, it's a true story, and it's about Ice Cube and Eazy-E and Dr. Dre, and how they started out as a small neighborhood group, and they were, you know, just doing their hip-hop and their rap, and it was like when it first came out, and, you know, they wanted to really express their freedom of speech and let the world know what was going on for them. And they really did have a hard time. I mean, it was pathetic that, or unfair, or I know all of those are out of my own brain cells, but anyway, that, you know, they would be just like standing outside the studio and the cops would come and throw them down on the ground, and because they just immediately assumed that they were gangsters and they were into drugs and they were, you know, doing all this. So then their next song would come out and it would be about the cops and what they did. And so every one of their rap songs was about their life experiences, what was going on. However, they were amplifying it, because all of their songs, all of their energy, all of their emotion was on how these other people are mistreating them. And so they were just building on that energy and adding more of it in their life, and the disastrous outcomes that happened to many of them. And it's just a sad commentary that, yes, they do have a freedom of speech, and yes, the world needs to know, you know, when there's unfairness going on, but they were definitely going about it in the wrong way to, and it was just amplifying and recreating. It was like a circle, and they were creating it in their life more and more. And so it's a very powerful film. It's very strong language and some strong scenes. You got to breathe through it. Yeah, there was a couple times I looked over at Michael, and he's sitting there in the pose with his hands in front of him, and I said, "Are you breathing? Are you okay?" It was definitely very strong, very powerful. So, you know, it's got a lot of language and nudity and things like that in it. But it just shows how they were recreating what they didn't want to happen. But because, I mean, all of their energy, I mean, their focus, their songs, their anger, everything was about what everybody else was doing to them. And so it was just creating another circle for it to happen again.
Including sex.
Including sex, yeah. And so... with that, let me welcome Dr. Tim. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Enjoying the intro and Michael's talk, and I was wondering if that movie was going to be any good. I heard an in-depth interview about it on the National Public Radio.
It is good, but if someone is very sensitive to, I mean, we didn't realize when we went into it that it was going to be that strong a language and nudity and sex and drugs and all of the things that were going on, but it's their life. I mean, it's a true story. It's a biography of these guys and how they, you know, trauma came into each of their lives and wrecked their friendship and all this other stuff, but it shows just exactly how we can keep things going by blaming something outside of us. And yes, people are put in bad circumstances every day, and you can either say, you know, I'm going to step above it, or you can use that as your excuse why your life's not going good. But I think it was a well-done movie. It was, like I said, you have to breathe through it, and if you're very sensitive to language and stuff, you might not want to go see it. But
yeah.
I thought it was
worksheets.
Did Michael say,
or even say commercially, the band that they create, or the group that they create, and I hesitate to say it, but the word is used continuously with each other throughout the film, but the band that these guys in their anger create is called Niggers with Attitude. And it's just, you know, pretty heavy-duty stuff, and certainly a space to hold a blessing for healing, because it's pretty heavy-duty.
Yeah, it's quite a story, and of course they've some of them have gone on to do rather advanced things in the world of arts and TV and music, and some of them didn't make it out. Some of them got completely absorbed in the violence and the criminality. What I was going to offer today was kind of the opposite side of it. You know, I've had the privilege in my own life to see how my life's gotten better week after week, day after day, year after year, by applying these tools. And one of the things I've counted as one of my biggest blessings over the past few years is being able to walk step by step with people in these support groups who are using these tools, and literally dismantling the anger and the fear and the hurt, the confusion, the sadness that used to be the defining characteristics of their life's interactions and their relationships. And I just want to, you know, put this out there as, I think it kind of gets lost sometimes, especially for those of us who listen to the radio show on a regular basis, the power of the tool of sitting down and doing a worksheet and doing the ancient Aramaic forgiveness process. If I have the willingness to see what's going on inside me the power it has to relieve my emotional turmoil, my physical aches and pains and stress, and the mental nagging thoughts just can't be believed until it's experienced. And I just want to say I had, you know, some nagging pains last week in my shoulder blade and my upper chest on the right-hand side, and I did some work and got at some really old stuff going back to 3 and 5 and 8 years old, and within a day, the pain's gone. A breath session, a few worksheets, the NET work I do with a partner, the pain is gone. And, you know, it happens so frequently in my life these days that I forget to mention it. But what I've seen happen with other people in my support groups, it's just getting to be an every week experience. And yeah, there are times when people hit new lows, but it's only after they've been to new highs. And it's because they've gotten the vitality to go look at and dismantle something that's even more negative or painful or sad or scary in their own perception. And so I just want to, you know, put the word out there that whether or not you're experiencing things like NWA experienced in the middle of their life, or you go to watch the movie about NWA and it triggers upset in you, the tools are here and they're available free on the internet at www.whyagain.org. And I am grateful. I am deeply grateful for having access to them.
Well, I certainly second that, Dr. Tim, and, you know, the difference it's made in all of our lives, and you just watch how much totally unnecessary suffering there is out there because people simply don't have the tool for removing what never belonged. You know, it's just, it's so such a simple tool, such an easy tool to apply, not always easy to face what comes up with it, but it's... it's so simple, so reliable, that, you know, watching how many people just have no clue that it's there simply reinforces my commitment is, okay, what can we do to take this to the next level of making it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet? That's what it's all about, for sure.
So do we have anybody with a hand up?
Well, let's just check with Deanie. Anything happening in the chat room, sweetie, or anybody with a hand up?
No, Erica's with us in the chat room along with some guests who can't talk to us. And nobody has their hand up. We've got several people on the switchboard, so if somebody presses one, you're first in line without waiting. Like I said at the beginning, it definitely makes this show easier and quicker and smoother because we're actually addressing your issues, and it's up to the minute, and it's live, and it's just smooth for all of us that way. I mean, we could talk forever, but it'd be really nice for you to join in.
And if Erica's there, she's always fun to interact with on the show. And, you know, it's like we've got lots of time. It's only, what, 12:25? So instead of, you know, getting down to the last few minutes, Erica, you could just push one and we could have a chat and see what's happening for you and take it to the next level. And, of course, the reason for the input, if you happen to go and see that movie, Straight Outta Compton, would be to make sure you remember to breathe. And you might take worksheets with you because several of the scenes will bring up some pretty deep either empathy for people's trauma or direct trauma that people have experienced. And male or female, doesn't matter. And to have that tool beside you, that whatever trauma comes up, you won't experience it because it shows up on the screen in a film, a few bits of light flickering around on a white screen, and a couple of pieces of cardboard bouncing back and forth, making what we call sounds, can't cause anything to happen in you. But if it's in you, it will come up. And if it does come up, then I think it's in order. because when it comes up, that's when we have the opportunity to grab that little sucker by the neck and throw it out to be free of it. You won't feel anything that isn't already in you in any circumstance in your life or already in your genes. And if you feel it because it's in your life experience or in your genes, we had a young lady at the 10-day food fund forgiveness that had experienced some results of sexual abuse, some trauma in that regard, but had never been sexually abused herself. And when she closed her eyes and looked and asked, you know, show me what this is about, she got a clear picture of her grandmother and her grandmother explaining the sexual trauma that she had and abuse that she had experienced at the hands of her grandfather. I mean, she just was straight up in her grandmother's past, but there she was explaining to her what had happened. And that's the power of tapping in and dealing with those things that are generational, and they can all be removed, and that's what we're here for. And he tells me that Erica is here. Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm rocking. Delight to hear your voice.
I thought I would call in after you mentioned me and give another testimony on the power of the forgiveness worksheet. So on Friday, remember, we ended the conversation with a mind shifter about it being safe and healing to say no and to hear no. And I had a lot of things to do this weekend. Well, after I got off the radio show, I left to go to my writing critique group. And then later on that evening, technically Saturday morning, my car was hit by who I think was a drunk driver, but I'm not certain about that yet. I haven't received the crash report. But anyways, my car was parked. No one was injured. The driver of the other vehicle may have been injured. I'm not sure on that. His airbag did deploy. But during that incident, because I witnessed it, and my friend witnessed it as well, I was just so tuned in to allowing love to flow through me that the actual accident was sort of in the background, and my focus was on if he was okay, the other driver. And that lasted well into the next day. And then here comes my worksheet. So I'm calling my insurance company to file the claim, and then I'm transferred over to my roadside assistance because I left my vehicle in the parking lot and my friend just gave me a ride home. And when I was being transferred over to roadside assistance, the claim representative told me not to tell them that the car was part of a crash because then they wouldn't tow it. And so she transfers me over, and one of the first questions the representative asks me is, how did my car become disabled? Well, I hadn't thought of what I would actually say. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I keep hearing Ram Dass, and he's saying, love everybody and tell the truth. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to tell the truth. And so I told the truth. And the response I got from the insurance company was that, no, they can't tow my car. And I asked if they could reimburse it. And then it had to do with, you know, a lot of missing elements of information we don't have at this moment. I was so enraged when I heard no, that I told the representatives, there were two of them on the line at that point, that I was very angry and I didn't want to take it out on them. And then I hung the phone up. I slammed the phone down. And I went to my bedroom and just fuming, Michael, just fuming. And I'm pacing back and forth and I'm breathing and it takes about 30 seconds and then I start crying. And then I'm like, I just have to keep breathing. And it took maybe 7-8 minutes of conscious breathing before I was calm enough to actually do the worksheet. And then I went.
And what was your mind shifter?
Okay, I don't have it right in front of me. It was something along the effect of, it is safe and healing for me to be told no. Something
I love
like
it.
That.
Talk about opportunities, right?
I know, because I hadn't done the mind shifter at that point yet. And I'm like, well, here it is, right in my face. And so I did the worksheet, and I saw some very interesting things. And then the next day, I was just, yesterday on Sunday, so sad. I mean, just depressed. like the lowest of lows. And then I rationalized it by saying I was in stage 4 of grief, depression. And then I was fine. And then I just kept running through my mind how I didn't have my car to drive anymore. And I was just missing it. And I thought my car had died. And I'm just telling this story in my mind about what I don't have. And then I'm like, no, I'm choosing this right now. I need to do some worksheets. And so when I got home from church, I sat down. I did a bunch of worksheets. I went back to my grandmother on my father's side, who lost 7 children, and 2 of her children survived. And I just have this image of her burying, like, child after child after child, like, burying 7 children in a row. I mean, that's...
Wow.
That's a lot.
Talk about loss.
Yeah. And so after I did that, then I had, like, dismantled my, you know, depression and sadness to an incredible level, and then I just went about and just got the stuff done that I wanted to do that I thought would take all weekend, and I did it in about 3 hours because I had to deal with all this energy first.
Awesome.
So I could actually focus on my work. Yeah, it was really good. It was a great weekend.
That's just awesome to hear that you stepped to that level. Just congratulations. That's fabulous.
Thank you, and thank you and Jeannie for being so insightful on Friday and persistent when I'm resisting.
Well, there was actually one more piece to the mind shifter. Jeannie just looked it up, so she's going to read it to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you.
It is that it is safe and healing, and people appreciate me when I tell them no.
Thank you. I'm writing it down again. Appreciate me when I tell them no. Because I haven't actually done the mind shifter yet. I was doing all these worksheets instead. Maybe when I tell them. But I know I need to go back to do this. I realized...
Well, isn't it...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't it interesting? The truth is, all of life is like a mind shifter. You know, when you put together... the ancient wisdom where they understood the unconscious in the Aramaic thousands of years ago, it's built into the syntax of the language. And the word that they used to represent the unconscious was the heart. And they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life, and you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. You just told us a story about forgiving from your heart that which you put into your brain's image of the insurance company in this case. And it's the issue that you've been working on, and out of the heart come the issues in life. It means that we set up the energies that draw to us the experiences that will make us look at the lowest energy we hold in us, because the lowest energy we hold is the one usually that we push down 1,000 times, and instead of pushing it down this time, you let it come up and you let yourself work through it.
Right.
Instead of pushing it down, running for an antidepressant, let's see if I can chemically lobotomize myself against this one. You allowed it to come forward, you did your work, and you processed through it. And so life comes along and acts like a mind shifter. And for those who are not familiar with the idea of a mind shifter, our definition of a mind shifter is that a mind shifter is a thought about an issue in your life around which you have negative thoughts, and it's the opportunity to surface, process, and release the negative thoughts. And life will always resonate for you that which you need to work through. The idea of the mind shifter is you can short-circuit the process and not have to create all kinds of drama and trauma to get you to look at things. So that's just such a cool piece of work. I really admire you. You're just awesome at what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, like through the situation, I now see where my next piece is. Although, if I look closely enough at any given moment, and not even look at the moment, if I'm willing to feel what's happening in my body, every experience offers an opportunity to dismantle and to heal something within me. It's just like getting to that point where I'm I feel subtle enough to feel these like minute shifts within my being, and then to explore them instead of judging them. And for a long time, I just judged them.
Awesome work. Awesome work. And I will get back to you in the next day or so. We did reorganize the schedule somewhat, we moved the food fund forgiveness back. Oh, Jeannie sent it to you. We moved it back and set it up so that you'd be able to complete the codependence communication practicum before you have to be back to school. So, cool.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. I will be there for, you know, that month or so, however long it is, the entire time. I'll just get all my class stuff done beforehand and then go relax. Well, it's not really relax. It is relaxing down there, but there's a lot of work that gets done. Yeah.
That's for sure. That's the idea.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much, both of you. Actually, all three of you. Dr. Tim's been incredibly, you know, beneficial and just a great resource. I'm very lucky to have, you know, this Mind Shifters group so close to home.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And as they say in Way of Mastery, it takes one to know one.
I think I've heard it outside of Way of Mastery as well, and in a different context.
Yeah, just slightly different context.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to let you go and see if anyone else has a question or a comment, but highly recommend actually doing the work. Just do the work.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're doing that, that you're on our support team, and that we get to be on yours. It's awesome. It's a privilege and an honor.
Mm, wonderful. Well, I will just tune in and listen to the rest of the show.
Thanks,
Great.
Erica.
Great.
Bye.
And Erica did share with us, you know, the story I was telling about the grandmother and grandfather experience was Erica, and she shared that with us a couple of weeks ago on the show, but it seemed appropriate to share it, and, you know, the fact that she called in and just the work that she's doing, you know, taking it to the next level, layer by layer, and here she gets another full conversation and experience of where her sadness comes from. I think it was grandmother on the other side. So, you know, we have born and bred in us every thought, every feeling, every experience of every generation. The skill is, and what I see Erica doing on a very deep level, is developing that skill and that willingness to reach in and scoop those experiences out and be rid of them, be finished with them. And, you know, any experience that triggers those things will do as the object of a worksheet. And, of course, as we say with the Mind Shifter, you can short-circuit the whole process and not have to create the experience in the first place if you're willing to do your work. It's kind of like a short-circuit sort of thing. So it's pretty cool. So, Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
No, there's nobody else has their hand up. So press 1 and you're first in line.
Well, Dr. Tim, do you have anything else to share on what Erica just shared?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that she was alluding to there is practicing and refining this ability that we all have, but we haven't really been taught to strengthen it and develop it, and that's awareness. That's stepping back and observing, not trying to think about, not trying to fix, not trying to manipulate, but observing what's going on inside of us. And it's just like, it's a muscle like any other muscle that, you know, you frequently refer to these spiritual faculties that need to be identified and then practiced and strengthened. Well, awareness of oneself, awareness at deeper levels of observation is critical because, as Erica was just pointing out, she's getting to understand these subtle shifts of energy within her and interpret them rather than what the culture has taught her, that somebody else is wrong or somebody else has to change, but interpret them as a need for her to get out a worksheet or her to do a breath session or her to do a mind shifter. And that is just so critical to moving forward in life. You know, one of the things that I quote often on the show and in my practice is, one of my favorite lines from a book is, the minute I think anyone or anything has to change, in order for me to be happy, the key to happiness is lost. And what Erica was talking about there is strengthening her ability to be aware of her own internal process and then connecting any upset, any tension, any pain or frustration or negative emotion to the thought that she needs to apply a tool to herself to remove that energy, rather than, as the culture teaches us, chase around, build a system of thought that says this person, that situation has to change in order for me to change or be happy. So, you know, I echo your thoughts of thanks to Erica and people like Erica who are coming to the support groups, using the tools, and then being willing to, you know, consistently use them. And then an extra piece of gratitude for those who are willing to share the results, calling in on the show or coming to the support group and giving testimonials. It's a wonderful wave to be riding to greater liberty and peace and joy.
And, of course, some people might interpret that I'm responsible for my own happiness and nothing needs to change outside of me for me to be happy as I'm not supposed to do anything about what's going on outside of me. And that's not the point at all. You know, take responsibility first for living and maintaining your human life, your active presence of love. And then, are there issues, are there things in the world to address? Absolutely. But address them from that connected space of love rather than from the mind divided against itself, where on one level we say we want this to be different. We want this person who rages to change, and then raging about them not changing because we're just trapped in the same energy. So it's first and foremost taking responsibility for maintaining your human life and then taking conscious, loving action in the world to bring about changes. Now, one of my mentors that I learned this one from very early in my work was a Superior Court judge in Albany, Georgia. This man had been the head of the prison system for the state of Georgia and became Superior Court, head of the Superior Court. And he was in a town called Albany, Georgia, which is a pretty heavy-duty town. And his name was Judge Asa D. Kelly. And Asa was the closest thing to a saint I've ever seen. He never punished a man or a woman that came before him on the bench, though we put thousands of them in jail, some of them for life. And he would explain to each prisoner, I love you like a brother. You know, that's my job in the world, is to be love, to experience the presence of love in your presence. And what you've done is you've committed a heinous crime. And so, you know, the community took up a collection. This is what he'd actually say to them. The community took up a collection and built a building with bars in it and asked me to be determined who was safe in the community and who wasn't. And I love you, but you're not safe in the community, so I'm going to put you behind bars. There was no punishment in him, no anger toward him around these things. He was just there to support and care for his community. And so the other thing that he would do, and actually the Laws of Living class we just finished teaching last week, was inspired in part by Judge Kelly wanting it for the prison system. And we cut recidivism in the prison system by over 90%. And the reason was because when you teach people the correct meaning of words, they can think correctly, they can live as the presence of love, and they can take constructive action about the issues in their lives that do need to change. And to do it from that space of connected love, which of course empowers us a thousand degrees further than we'll ever feel being empowered by rage or fear. People mistake rage for power, and rage gives people strength. Rage covers up pain. Oftentimes people become totally addicted to their rage and their hostility, because when something painful comes up, up comes that rage. And I think that Erica just shared with us a story about how she had a lot of, you know, what she ended up with. What finally surfaced when she completed that piece of work was a lot of sadness over loss. And here it is, the loss of her car, and she's experiencing that sadness, but when they tell her no, and they're not going to take care of her car, what happens? The first thing that comes is the drug. For most people, rage. And if I'll take responsibility for the drugs in my mind, and I forgive, I weaken those energies, then I am freed of them. And yes, I'm going to think I get to experience pain, sadness, fear. You know, I've watched guys 6'6", 280 pounds in the prison who break down and cry like a baby over the fact that at 3 years of age, mom left and he never got to be hugged by mom again. And here's a guy whose whole life, his whole criminal career has been driven by that rage to keep that pain from surfacing. And when that pain surfaces and he's able to process through it, he's got the support for it, he's not going back to criminal activity based in rage. Not going to do it again because he's been able to embrace and free himself from the impact of that insanity of fear and hostility. So that's absolutely what we're here to support. That's why we do this radio show 5 days a week. I certainly appreciate the fact that when we run into a jam with the time that we spend on the road and such, that Dr. Jim is there to support us. Mucho gusto. Thank you. So, Jeannie, anything happening there in the cavern? Looks like we've got time for another question or two.
I'm actually having some conversation with a new person in the chat room, and let me see if it will let me roll back up to the beginning of our conversation. And it was about so many people being in, being lost or enslaved in their pain and in their hatred and their resentment. And I said, yeah, you know, that's kind of what we were talking about at the beginning was that, you know, instead of recreating it and being lost in, you know, what they're doing to me, going inside and cleaning up the hate and the resentment that's being shown to those who are showing them hate and resentment, and just creating that circle of ongoing, and that our work is about going inside and removing that. And so our conversation in the chat room, just about the time that you had said something about people being addicted to rage, they type the same thing in the chat room, so it's like, okay, on the same page here. So 646-200-4169, we have about 9 minutes. If you press one, we can address your question. And thank you for the conversation in the chat room.
And I find myself wondering if Rex is out there. We haven't heard from Rex in a little while. If you're out there, Rex, press one. Tell us what's happening in Lansing, Michigan. I'd love to hear how support groups are going and what kind of exciting things are happening in that regard. I know you guys have got a lot of energy coming into that new grandbaby, which is pretty sweet, pretty cool. And Jeannie tells us we've got a hand up, so let's say hello.
Area 678, you're on the air.
Hi, I was the guy that was communicating with you, my lady, in the chat room.
Awesome, welcome.
Hi, nice to
meet you. Your name is?
I'm sorry?
Your name is?
Oh, my name is Mitch. My name is Mitch.
Mitch, welcome. Where are you calling from?
I just got back from Costa Rica, and so I'm just in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, cool. Welcome. We were down there last year. Love Costa Rica.
Yeah, Costa Rica is pretty. It's very pretty. But I was just calling in. I was just, you know, checking out the chat rooms, and I listened to many, many chat rooms, you know, because I used to do a lot of, Skype used to have a lot of chat rooms. But anyway, Block Talk Radio is interesting, and you meet all different kinds of people. But I like this, I like your chat because it talks about a much higher vibration in human life and the key of looking within oneself and removing all that the Buddhists call the demon nature and cultivating the Buddha nature or the Christ light, as the Christians would say it, or even the divine spiritual light warrior being, to just cultivate the goodness. The Jedi's cultivate the light side, you know, from the dark side. And I just see a lot of people, you know, when you're talking about blacks and whites and Jews and Muslims and Palestinians and Republicans and Democrats, I think we've lost and deviated from the original source of actually seeing a human being for a human being and seeing the heart and soul of the human being and the spirit of the human being and their actions. And I think a lot of people are just so enslaved with a lot of resentment now and a lot of anger. And we're all human beings. So I think when the morality in our hearts change or manifest or awaken to the understanding of it's not a color thing, it's not a gay thing, it's not a white thing. I don't care whether you're a white man or a black man or a gay man or an Oompa Loompa or a polka dotted striped, you know, a zebra. I don't care. What's most important is the heart and to look inside oneself to become and connect closer to love, to connect closer to truthfulness within oneself and with everyone else. And, you know, I see a lot of people not grasping that and fighting and arguing back and forth and blaming, playing the victim, and you know, every white person is evil because certain individual doers did something. Every Muslim is a terrorist. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's a human to a human. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I'm glad to be part of, you know, your lovely show that has a higher vibration. You know, and like you said, people are addicted to that fear and that resentment, and they have to look within. And most people, unfortunately, right now, I'm not going to generalize, but a lot of people are afraid to look within. They're afraid to open those skeletons and really cultivate themselves because it is hard. And because the morality is just slipping down, it's very difficult. So I just really hope that we're going to go, and I think we're going to go more to a realization. It's not about color. That's what these evil people, and I believe in evil and good. I've been working in human rights for a long time, especially exposing the Chinese government's brutality against the spiritual movement of Falun Gong and killing them for their organs in China and other things in the world. But when I see a human to a human, you don't see the color, you don't see the religion, you don't see the creed, you don't see the nationality, you see the heart. And when we see the heart, we can become more compassionate because we have hearts. So, you know, anyway, I grab
absolutely.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys and thank you. I mean, I just, the anger and the animosity and the fighting and the resentment and the talk and spending hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, whether you're on CNN, whether you're on Block Talk Radio, and talking about such low-level things, you know, people. It's not about the politicians. It's about or the religion or the creed. It's about spirituality, divine law, closer to yourself, connecting to your source, connecting to spirit, connecting to love. And truthfulness. And
absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Anyway,
you know, you remind me of one of my favorite quotes from Einstein is one where he says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion.
I know.
And our brain shows us things that keep us separated from realizing that the truth is that there's one being on the planet. The ancients called it the mystical body of Christ. We're all part of one entity. We are individuated cells within that state of being, and it's ourselves that we're fighting, struggling against, and killing. And, you know, it's a big wake-up call. It's a great scene Genius reminded me of in the original Star Wars movie. And Darth Vader lures, you know, Luke Skywalker into the den of his master and lord, and the master announces to him and shows him a scene of space, and he says, that star right over there, and he accurately names the place where all of Luke's friends are getting ready to make their attack from, and he says, I just invited you here to watch us blow them up and kill all your friends, and of course, Luke starts to bristle, and the evil lord has left his lightsaber right there where he can reach it, and he turns to Luke, and he says, go ahead, hate me, go ahead, strike me down, kill me. And, you know, that's the lure of the dark side is, and what people don't realize is if they use dark forces, you know, there are lots of people we run into that proclaim and argue for their anger and rage because it helps them. It's like, no, anger and rage has never helped anybody to do anything except blow out their intelligence. And but that scene just shows so graphically that, you know, the evil lord doesn't care whether he dies or not. If he can get Luke to strike him down and act in rage and kill, then he's got him switched to the dark side, and that's all they wanted to do. And people don't realize that, and they think they can use darkness for light purposes. And, it, you know, I love how Gandhi says it, the tool you use always produces a result just like the tools.
Exactly.
And so we're here to support the knowledge of that, and it, especially if you haven't looked at the first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness, there's a technology that was known 2,000 years ago that has been disappeared from the planet, and that is a tool for going inside of ourselves, accessing the dissociated parts of the mind, and freeing ourselves from it. It's called forgiveness. The Greeks turned it around backwards and made it about letting somebody else off the hook because it was pain or turmoil inside of us, as opposed to the technology that was very well understood 2,000 years ago for how to go inside and remove that stuff. You know, when we talk about forgiveness, we invite people to think removal rather than letting people off the hook. And until people can remove those things it's difficult to choose the higher vibration because the noise of the lower stuff is just, it's like, it acts like a virus. And, you know, the virus removal software was disappeared from the planet about 2,000 years ago, and what we're working to do is to reestablish that tool of forgiveness on the planet.
I feel you, you know, and I'm a spiritual warrior. You know, I do believe in God. I believe in the ancient world. I believe in the gods, the divine beings. That's me. Everyone has their own faith and has their own belief and purpose. And I do believe that I was created to do a duty and a mission in this world and to help the people, to protect the innocent. You know, Hector of ancient Troy said, honor the gods, love and protect the woman, and love and defend your people. And, you know, God is a whole other story, so we won't even get into that. But, you know, people believe what they want to believe.
Right.
But as long as I am a human being, and I can only talk for myself, I won't hate another person, no matter what that person has done to me. I don't care what happens. You mentioned a very powerful word. It's a forgiveness. It's a forgiveness that really has to be cultivated, and you really have to let go of the hate. You have to let go of the resentment. And I think people...
Absolutely.
It will change. It must, because when things reach an extreme, they will turn around. And I've been involved in rescuing people, protecting people. I will restrain evil people. I've done it before. You know, I got blood in my hands, but I got to do what I have to do to help. And I won't kill, because killing is the most evil sin. Thank God I haven't. You know, I don't. You know, anyway. But you have to defend from evil. There is a righteousness that people, like Socrates, the ancient prophet Socrates, what is righteousness? What is courage? People have to take responsibility to really figure out that what that is, and not only talk the talk, but walk the walk in that. And it's that,
right.
Everyone has
We're down to just the last minute or so, so I'm going to have to kind of close the show. But
no.
I'll ask, you know, for me, I think that we're getting to the point of critical mass shift. And one of the symbols of that for me, if you haven't seen the movie Tomorrowland by Disney, and then the follow-up Inside Out, in Tomorrowland, as I see it, Disney confesses what they've been doing in darkness and made a commitment to the light, and then watch the movie Inside Out. If you haven't seen it, it's awesome in that it's opening the conversation for little kids to be able to understand how to change the contents of their own mind and what's running their mind. So in the meantime, it's a delight to speak with you. I hope we'll get to hear from you again. I do have to close the show out. We invite everybody to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's a... Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.